Go and turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Before I start preaching, I was just thinking about God's grace and how great it is and what He did for us. And in Luke 15, I've been studying that recently. Luke 15, you get three things that are lost. You get a sheep, you get a coin, you get a son. I don't know if you've ever looked at sheep when they get lost. Sheep tend to, you know, they don't usually wander from the pack, but sometimes they do. And when a sheep wanders from the pack, the reason why they stay lost is because they don't know how to get back. They don't know which way to go, so they just kind of stand there. Isn't that like us? Before Jesus Christ came to us to say, hey, I'll show you the way back. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We understand that in regards to salvation, but what about our life after we're saved? Sometimes we think we're so far out that we're never going to make it back, and Jesus is still there saying, hey, I am the way. I'll put you on my shoulders and carry you back. That's how much I love you. And so if you're not saved in here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're still lost, but He's the way back.
Yeah.
Or whether you're saved in here this morning and you find yourself in a position where you don't think you should be, He's still there wanting you to get back. And so before we even get started, I just want us to think about that. And it's all through His grace. We've sung a lot about His grace, and it's just been great. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. I love the book of 2 Peter. I just told my Sunday school class this. I love the book, both books, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Now, to be honest, I love 2 Peter a little bit more just because of the content of 1 Peter. If you know anything about 1 Peter, 1 Peter is about how to suffer as a Christian. And, you know, nobody likes to suffer. Right? So I like 2 Peter a little bit more. It's about the truth and the importance of the truth and how the truth can affect our lives. Not only that, what will happen then to take us away from the truth? We're going to look at something today and see the importance of the truth and what we need to do with it. I just want us to read a few verses, not about the sermon, just in ways of introduction. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses number 2 and 3. It says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I don't think it's a coincidence that we've been singing so much about Jesus Christ. You know, we sing a song in the choir, you know, Jesus is the answer. You know, and we'll spout it, right? Well, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer in more ways, and it means more than sometimes we think it means.
Amen.
Hey, I want to live a godly life. What's the answer? Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hey, I want to get saved. What's the answer? Jesus. Hey, I want grace and peace to be multiplied in my life that I have never experienced before. What's the answer? Jesus. Jesus is the answer, and the knowledge of Him and who He is the answer more than what we think it is. As we'll see, in the part of Peter we're going to look at, Peter's death is approaching. Peter is coming to the end of his life. It's always interesting. You see it in Paul's letter to Timothy. You also see it here in Peter. Two men that have followed God for the majority of their lives and what they choose to focus on when it's the end. Not only what they choose to focus on, what they choose to tell us to focus on as we continue our walk. Let's start in verse number 12. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 12, it says this, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And this is where I want us to focus on this morning. It says, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Let's go and pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank You for this morning. Lord, we thank You for a more sure word of prophecy. Lord, I pray that as we start to look at it and what it does in our lives, Lord, that we cannot just hear, but we can do. Lord, we thank You for the words that You've given to us. Lord, I just pray that You get me out of the way and that You can speak through me and Your Holy Spirit can do a work in all the hearts here today. Lord, we thank You again for all You've given to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we said, Peter is coming to the end of his life. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 13 through 15. He already knows that he is about to die. It's a very sombering thought, is death, and Peter knew it was coming. I want us to think about maybe, you know, if we reach that place, Lord, you know, Lord willing, the Lord comes back and we get raptured out first. But if that doesn't happen, what would the final thing you would say, or the final piece of advice you would give to the younger people around you? Here, Peter is writing this letter to the Christians that were around him at Pentecost, and he's writing this letter and he knows he's about to die. What is interesting, I believe what is interesting, is what Peter chooses to focus on. I mean, you can imagine, you might tell somebody, well, hey, why don't you, you know, go into my house and get this or get that and get this. Here comes Peter focusing on the truth of God. He said, guys, I am in a dark day right now. I'm about to pass on. Here's what I want you to do, is I want you to remember the truth of God and the light that it is. What is interesting, again, I have this in my notes. Imagine what Peter had observed. Here's what Peter is about to die, and he's giving this in verse 16. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." And then he tells the story that he was not allowed to tell when it first happened. Imagine being up on the Mount of Transfiguration, observing Christ transfigured into His glory. I mean, if I was Peter, I'd be like, man, I can't wait to tell the other disciples this. And look at what I saw. I mean, wouldn't you? If you saw something that glorious, your Savior being transformed into His true glory, wouldn't you want to tell everybody? They come down the mountain and Jesus looks at them and says, hey guys, you're not telling anybody about this. Could you imagine how much that would burn inside of you? You're just looking at all these other apostles and all these other people and going, I know something you don't. I just can't tell yet. Here Peter is getting ready to die. And guess what he gets to do to the people he's writing to? He gets to tell them what he saw. And you know, if I saw this, I'd be like, hey guys, I'm passing on. Look at what I saw. And then that's it. Notice that's not where he stops. He says this. He says, "For we receive from glory," verse 18, "and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him on the Holy Mount." They heard the voice. He heard the voice of God speaking. But then he continues on and he says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Hey guys, guess what? I am passing on. I have experienced this great thing, but I want to let you know we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto, here's his advice, ye do well that ye take heed. He is getting ready to pass on, and the last thing he says, the major piece of advice he is giving to these people is, hey, we have a more sure word of prophecy, ye do well that ye take heed. What a statement. We're not going to, we might touch on it later, but if you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 3, you start to see the false truth sway a little bit. He starts then talking about false teachers that are coming in and how they work. And you talk about fickle Christians like Lot, whose vexed righteous soul was vexed by the world around him. And then you start to see scoffers in chapter 3. Peter understood the world he was living in. Peter understood the people that were around him, and because of that, he knew how important the Word of God was. And so he says, hey guys, you do well to take heed to it. But he doesn't stop there. Again, he doesn't stop there. He gives us a picture of what the Word of God is like. And that's what we're going to look at today. It says, whereunto ye, in verse number 19 of 2 Peter chapter number 1, it says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, how? As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So I want us to look a little bit at this sure word of prophecy and why I think Peter used the light as a description for it. The light, as it is, we'll begin to look at what the light does and what the Word of God does in our lives. The first thing we see is it shines. Light shines. Light shines. Despite the great thing that Peter saw, and we're going to come back to this. If you look at Matthew 17, you know when Jesus was transfigured, you know what it said his face did? It shone. You know what shines? Light. He transfigured into light. And here Peter is saying, look, I saw these great things. Hey, I have something that's like that light. It's a more sure word of prophecy. Interesting to think, again, that Peter saw the fulfillment of a variety of different prophecies during his life with Christ. Could you imagine walking with Christ? And him teaching, and you're familiar with the Old Testament prophecies, and you know he says, "Hey Jesus, where were you born?" "I was born in Bethlehem." Interesting. Hey Jesus, where did you guys take a trip when you were a young child? "Yeah, we went to Egypt, but then God called us out of it." Interesting. Could you imagine just the things that they saw and they would have been taught walking with Christ? That's a more sure word of prophecy, right? Hey, look, we're not just hearing it, we're seeing it. We're experiencing it, we're touching it. We can also apply this more sure word to the written word of God we have today. I use this example a lot when we talk about the written versus the spoken word. You know, I'm married. I know, surprising. I'm married, been married for a while. Amy will tell me to do something. I'm sure all of you wives in here have told your husband at one time or another to do something. Well, you know, I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. But maybe it's just because I don't speak wife or something. So, some things get lost in translation, right? Like, well, hey, Brett, I asked you to do that. I never heard that. Or I thought you asked me to go get the ice cream when really you asked me to do the dishes. It's just weird. You know what you can't misconstrue? You know what you can't misconstrue? Something that's written down. Yep. Amen. Right? You can't misconstrue the written word. Man. Right? It says what it says. Yep. Like we might be able to try to make it say something else, but it says what it says. Right? So if Amy would have wrote, hey, do the dishes, there, if I came to her and said, I thought you said get the ice cream, it says, no, look, do the dishes, right? Like, I use dishes because we both don't like doing the dishes. That's why we have dishwashers, praise the Lord. But Peter tells us that we would take heed to. I noticed one thing about this with the light shining, and then we'll really get into the light, but notice what Peter doesn't say here. I want us to notice this because this is a choice that we all have to make. He says this, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Notice what Peter is not saying. Peter isn't saying, you shall take heed to the more sure word of prophecy, or you will do this. Do you know what we as humans have a great quality about us? We're rebels. And when somebody tells us to do something, guess what we want to do? The exact thing that we've been told, right? No. The exact opposite thing. When I was in graduate school at Purdue, I would have to go up to the ground floor to get phone calls because I worked in the basement. And where I was taking calls was in this little sitting area. And in the sitting area, there was a light switch on the back wall. And on that light switch, there was a little note. And on it was, do not touch the light switch. So I'm up there talking. You know what I really wanted to do? Touch the light switch. Just to see what would happen. Did I ever touch it? No. Because I figured maybe the building would collapse or something, I don't know. Right? But notice what Peter doesn't say. You shall take heed. You better take heed. What does he say? Ye do well to take heed. Man, I don't know why my life isn't the way it's supposed to be. I don't know why I'm not as well as I should be and I'm really spiritually sick. Hey, you do well to take heed. The choice is yours. Peter is here saying you have a more sure word of prophecy, so you would do well to take heed to it. You don't have to. As he said in chapter 2, verse 1, there's false teachers that are among you. You can listen to them, but you would do well to take heed to this. So we said a light shines. When we think of a light, that's what it does, right? It shines. This room would be completely dark if we didn't have the lights, right? That's what it does. The light illuminates the dark. What is darkness? Darkness is just the absence of light. Darkness isn't a thing in and of itself. You take away the light and you get dark. I want to say something when we seem to be in the darkest storms of our lives, the darkest seasons, when we're walking through what seems like just a very dark place, guess what? We still have the light. The darkness doesn't take away the light. When my brother and when my mom and my brother would watch movies when I was a kid, I would always come home from work or I would always come back and I would step in the house and it would be completely dark. I don't know if any of you guys like watching movies in the complete darkness. I do not. It's just, I would walk in and they'd just be sitting in the dark and I'd be like, why are you guys sitting in the dark? So what would you do? You'd turn on the light to get rid of the dark. Yeah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Do you realize that's what happened when you guys got saved? God turned on the light. We were in darkness. We were sitting in darkness and we heard about the glorious grace, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, and we trusted it as our only way to get to heaven, and boom, the lights came on. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. We'll read a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, pastors recently preached on why we do what we do, and he looked at this. Hey, we do it because we love Christ. We do it because we have a duty to do it, and we need to do it. Verse number 2, it says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. We're talking about the Word of God and it being a light. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice, when you are blind, how much light do you see? You don't see any light. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that are lost. There is no light. They don't see any light. And that's what it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines on their mind. Verse number 5. Here's our job. Here's our job, just so you guys know. Verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. This is we say it all the time from up here. This is why it's so very important we keep everything in its context and we preach Jesus Christ. He's the answer, not me. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Look, verse number 6. For God, this is what God does, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What did God do? We preach Christ. Why? Because God shone the light in our hearts so that we can then shine the light in other people's hearts. And that then God can shine the light in them too. It's all about the light. You know, the more I was looking at this idea of the more sure word of prophecy and it being likened to light, the more you see light versus darkness. We talked about it as being saved versus unsaved. Right? If you're unsaved, you're in darkness. You're walking according to the prince of the power of the world. You're sitting in darkness, but Jesus Christ is that light. And only He can bring the true light. We understand also, not only with salvation and non-salvation, but we understand that the world is growing darker every day. You know, light shines brightest when the places around us are the darkest. You know, in Matthew 5 and John 1, it talks about men would rather love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why nobody wants to hear the light. That's why He likens it to the light. He likens it, hey, you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Because many of us have found us in a dark place. I like this. If you're familiar with the story of Gideon, do you know how else the light shines the best? Through a broken vessel. If you remember, Gideon had his soldiers and they're getting ready to attack and they're thinking, all right, Gideon, what are we going to take with us? What weapons are we going to have to defeat the enemy? And he says, no weapons. You're going to take a light, and you're going to put a jar over it, and you're going to bring a trumpet, and we're just going to go. And you're thinking, what? While that clay pot is over the light, guess how much light gets out? But it wasn't until Gideon gave the signal. They broke the clay pot. Guess what could come out? All of that light. Guess what's inside of you right now if you're saved? The light of the world. Jesus Christ said, I am the light. Guess how His light shines best in our lives sometimes? Through a broken vessel. I almost don't want to say it, but it's true. So the light shines, it illuminates, it gets rid of the darkness. What else does the light do? The light shows. The light shows. Very similar to shines, but it shows. What do I mean by shows? If you're in darkness, you don't know where you're going. You're just walking around. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the weather is warmer, and I really wish Texas would pick a season, to be honest with you. But it's warmer now, and the kids love to play night tag. So guess who has decided to join them in playing night tag? Me, the young one. You know what you can't see when you're playing dark tag? You can't see the tree. You can't see the pitfalls that are on the ground. You can't see the holes in the yard. You can't see the rocks. There's rocks everywhere in our yard. I pick one and move it. And it seems like four show up in its place. And you're thinking, where? I just moved these rocks. You can't see any of that, right? We were playing the other night. Becca hurt herself. She kind of fell on a little divot and she kind of skinned up her knee a little bit. We made sure she was okay, but she still wanted to play. So you know what Becca did? And I really hope we can get this picture. You know what Becca did? She got a flashlight. You know why? She grabbed the light that could illuminate her path to make sure she doesn't fall into the same pit she did before. I saw that and I said, Becca, you just preached a great sermon to me. I hope you know that. Because the light shows us where we fell, but it also shows us where we're going so we don't fall again. Let's go to Psalm 119. We're all probably somewhat familiar with this verse, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the psalm is the longest psalm in your Bible, and it has to deal with a man's relationship to the Word of God. How we deal with the Word, how the Word deals with us, how we should love it, how we should study it, all this stuff that's in Psalm 119. I want us to focus on Psalm 119, 105. I do have to give Brother Mike a credit for this. He's the first person who's ever said this. And I thought, oh, that is really good. So I'm going to give him credit for this. Psalm 119, verse number 105. You see two different types of lights. But it's light. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice, the light does different things. The lamp shows us where we are. The lamp dispels the darkness. Right? You light a candle when the lights go out so you're not in darkness anymore. That's what a lamp does. It shows you where you are. The Bible is really good at showing us where we are right now. But not only that. It says a light unto my path. It shows us where we're going. It shows us the pitfalls, the things that we could fall into. It's really hard to figure out where we're going in darkness. You know, in Ephesians it says we're supposed to walk as children of light. Right? We're supposed to walk as if we have a light illuminating our path. Now, we've heard this illustration before. Obviously, if we have a light, you know, if you have your headlights, our headlights, especially in my Yaris, don't go from the church all the way to my house. There's no way. They only go a few feet in front. The best piece of advice I have ever gotten was from one of my best friends in Indiana. He's now a pastor in Florida. I was struggling with my call and what God was doing in my life. I thought I was called. He called me to a church, I thought, for a specific reason. It actually turned out to be something different. And I was struggling. And he looked at me and he said, Hey, Brett, did God call you here? I said, Yes, sir. He said, All right, just walk in the light that you're given. You know what we do as Christians sometimes? We don't try to go too far outside of the light. And we try to find out what's on the other side of the light, which we have no business seeing. God sees it. God knows we don't. And you know what might be over there? One of the best books we've ever read to our kids was called A Hedge of Thorns. It's called A Hedge of Thorns. It was written in 1611. Like something else I know. Coincidence? Maybe. But what it's about is these kids are going to back and forth to school and they say they see this hedge and they think, man, that hedge is so restricting. Man, that hedge, I just wish we could see what's on the other side of the hedge. Well, they saw what was on the other side of the hedge and you know what it was? It was a cliff. Imagine that hedge protecting us. Imagine God is only showing us so much light because beyond that light is a cliff. Peter says, Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. I want to say this as you guys are turning back there. It is in our darkest times that we need to ensure we go to the light and stay in the light. And we need to remember that even though that it feels like we're in the darkest times of our lives or in the darkest places of our lives, the light is still there. If you guys remember Psalm 23, it says, though I walk in the shadow of the valley of death. Do you know why there's a shadow? Because there's something blocking the light. It doesn't take the light away. There is just something that has been put in front of the light. Do you realize in a month we're supposed to have this huge great eclipse? Do you know what an eclipse is? Something getting in front of the sun. Think about that. Sometimes we find ourselves in the darkest places, not because the light has left, but there has been something put in the front of the light. We have to remember that the light is still there. Jesus was still on the boat with the disciples when they woke him up and said, "Carest thou that we not perish?" Jesus is there with them. He's already performed these miracles. They've already seen it. They know he cares. They just couldn't see the light because of the things that were going on around them. A question arises, though, and I'm sure Peter probably figured this out. It's a question that we all ask, right? Especially, you know, if we're told to do something, well, how long should I do it then? You know, you tell your kids, "Hey, so-and-so, go clean up your room." Well, how long should I clean it up? I already picked up 5 pieces. Do it until it's clean, right? You keep going until you don't need to do it anymore. I can imagine that Peter probably thought in his mind that these people are wondering, "Hey, I need to take heed into this more sure word of prophecy as a light, but how long should I take heed to it? Just until my little problem here is finished and then I can just go back and do whatever?" Peter is exhorting the people to continue as long as it takes. Not only as long as it takes, but as long as it takes until you don't need that light anymore. Notice what he says, and this is the great thing. So it shines, it shows, but the light also will sustain us. It will sustain us. If you've ever gone spelunking in a cave, I love it. Some of my other family members don't love it. And you go into the cave and they always say, "Hey, why don't you guys turn off the lights?" You know how far you want to keep walking when the lights are off? No, I'm out. But once you turn those lights on, you get a little burst of energy and you're ready to, like, "Yeah, let's go, let's keep going." That's what this light does. It sustains us. How long will the light guide me? How long will I need to be sustained? We need to take heed to the light until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Do you know when you don't need a flashlight? When the sun comes up. That's what he's saying. You need to take heed to the light until the day dawn. My dad, I have some stories with my dad. One of the stories I have is he loves flea markets. You don't do very many flea markets here in Texas or garage sales. That's a bone I have to pick with you guys, but that's for another day. But he would love to set up at flea markets. So he would wake me up as a teenage boy at like 4 a.m. And we would get in the car and we would drive to where the flea market is and we would start setting up. Well, it would be dark. So we would have to have flashlights so that we could see what we're doing in the darkness as we're setting up. But once that sun came up, no more flashlight. We didn't need it. We already had the light. When the sun comes up, we don't need the light. When Jesus comes back, we're not going to need the light. When we're in heaven, where He is the light, we don't need the light. So guess how we continue? We continue until we see the day dawn. Until Jesus Christ, as I said in Matthew 17, as He transfigured into and He shone, until that light shines in our lives physically, guess what we need to take heed to? The light that He gave us to walk every day. We might be in a pretty dark season, but the sunrise is coming. You know, they always say it's darkest before the dawn. And it might be pretty dark out there, but hey, the dawn is coming. Let's finish with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I found this verse interesting as I'm thinking about how the light sustains us and how long we need to walk and work and do what the light tells us. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 12, it says this, "For now we see through a glass," how? "Darkly." Limited light. We have a light. It says, "But then face to face. But I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Hey, you know, there's going to come a time. Now is that time we see darkly. We can only see little bits here and there, because that's all the light's showing us. But there's going to come a time where we'll know, even as we're also known. Where we don't necessarily see darkly because we have just a little light, but we can see the full picture because we're up there with Christ.
Amen.
I want to finish with this. Peter doesn't, he doesn't force us to do it, right? I said, "You shall," he doesn't say "you will," like, he says, "Ye do well that ye take heed." It's interesting that he uses the word heed. He doesn't say "you do well that ye read." He doesn't say "ye do well that ye study." Those are both very important things to do with the Word of God. But he says "ye do well that ye take heed." Taking heed means to mind, to regard with care, to take notice of, to attend to observe. It's one thing to see the light. It's another thing to use it to help guide our way. And that's what I want to... Peter, again, is getting to the end of his life. And he realizes the end is near. And he's writing a letter to these people. And he says, "Man, I experienced this great and amazing thing. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. And because of that, ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Go ahead, and if we could stand. Miss Naomi, if you don't mind coming to the piano. We have the light. We have the Word of God that we can read and hold in our hands. The question for us during this time of prayer is, are we taking heed to it? Let's go and pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for all you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for a word that we can go to that can help guide us into everything that we need to do for you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We just thank you for you. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you need it.